So I told her, I sent her a 20-minute message this morning and told her how thankful I was and so pleased. And I said, but listen, sister, I do not want to tell you what's going on until after you pray about the amount of that $44,000 that you're to give. I said, and once you know you've heard from the Lord, you let me know and I will share with you the incredible things that have been going on behind the scenes. These journal entries where I'm up against a mountain and I'm praying, God, you're gonna have to send a very large donation. You're gonna have to really help. This is gonna take a miracle. There's no other way. This is a miracle.
In fact, unless we have overcoming faith, we will be swallowed up, consumed by the giants who block our path. With that same spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13, that Joshua and Caleb had, let us look to God, and he will take care of the difficulties. Amen to that, eh, baby? Just like he did for you yesterday, me today.
Sweetheart, I've been in prayer, and it started out really slow and quiet. And I moved into where I was. I got up, I sat on the floor for a while, and then I got up and started walking. And I started just praying about everything that was coming to my mind and all kinds of prayers and requests. And I started having some really powerful prayer about bondage to the child support, that I didn't want to just pay off the child support balance, that I want to be free of the continuing bondage to it. And I just felt this faith rise up in me to really ask God. I said, Lord, I know you've just done something amazing for me, but Lord, please. And, you know, free me from this. So I prayed a lot about that. And then I moved into praying about the tiny house. I saw a car passing by and I realized I'd taken the sign up. And I said, Lord, if for any reason, God, you do not want me to take this tiny house to New Zealand or you want it to sell, God, please show me. And then I started saying, oh, God, just show me. Do you want me to take this tiny house to New Zealand or not, Lord? I really need you to show me. And sweetheart, it's like God immediately reminded me, I've already shown you. You threw out a fleece and I answered it directly. Sweetheart, you and I specifically prayed that God would send like a $40,000 donation. You specifically said that God would send us like a $40,000 donation if we were supposed to bring the tiny house to New Zealand. I feel like the Holy Spirit just reminded me of this. Do you remember this, sweetheart?
Hey, baby. No, you're totally... No, I shouldn't say no. Yes, you're totally right, I should say. I did say that. And I do remember saying to you, well, actually, you know, God can... You know, if God removes the child support or what have you, then basically all we'd need is that $40,000 to send the tiny house to New Zealand. And if he was to bless us with, say, $40,000, then we would know that that indeed was his plan, after all, for us to send it. So I'd forgotten about that. Oh, my gosh. I had actually forgotten about that. And, yeah, I was talking about putting out a fleece. Oh my gosh, that is crazy. Well, look at that, baby. You've already pulled up the sign. So, wow. Thank you, Father, for answering that prayer, because that's what I was praying, that God would make it super clear about the tiny house. Yeah, crazy stuff.
It is 12:24 on June 29th, 2021. I've been in total shock. I've been unable to feel the size of this blessing that has just come upon me. Here it is after I've just taken this huge, gigantic risk yesterday, Lord telling me to send off the passport, even though it's been rejected before, and even though there's this Goliath standing in between me and my ability to get it approved, and no sign of any kind of circumstance that could change that. The Lord tells me, move forward. I will not be disappointed. So I spend almost $400 between the government and FedEx to get my passport in the process of renewal yesterday. I had started this process at around 3:30 to 3:40-ish. I'm sitting on the websites doing the research, trying to figure out who should I apply with? Is there any way I can get this expedited? I find out that FedEx has teamed up with Rush Passport. I trust FedEx. So I start the process, find out it's going to take $217. At 3:56 p.m., they receive my order for the process, and I pay $217 to get this application started. But then I have to sit and actually fill out the application. I go through the whole process of doing that, and then I think, okay, if I race, it's 5 o'clock, I can get to FedEx by 6 and get it out today. I get to FedEx. Obviously, the whole way there, I'm just seeing all these numbers, you know, the 422s, the 455s, 212s, you know, all the numbers that are telling me I'm not going to be put to shame. You are my son whom I love, with you I am well pleased, you know, keep moving forward. Just all of the numbers. I can't even remember them off the top of my head. It was like a smorgasbord. And I'm just like, God, this is incredible. I mean, I told Lisa it was overwhelming. It's like literally God will do this occasionally where when he's getting ready to do something, he overwhelms me and floods me with the numbers so that it can never be seen as, oh, this was just coincidence. I pull into FedEx, the only car in the parking lot. I have a picture of this, 212. He's granted you the desire of your heart. He's not withheld the request of your lips. You know, just all of the things I've captured in the recordings, all the numbers, it's incredible. 422s, 424. He did this to show how powerful he is, and that make his name known amongst the nations, and that you may always fear him. So all of this happens. I sign, seal, and deliver it, get my passport photo taken there, pay an extra $15 for that, get it sent off, tell Lisa it's done. She's excited, and she's like, yay, now we get to watch God act. And she sends me, you know, this message, and she's like, yes, now we get to watch and see what God is going to do. And I'm praising her because she has this incredible childlike faith. She was even strong in some ways yesterday where I was weak, and I'm feeling kind of melancholy. Yesterday, I had one of the worst dreams I've ever had. It's just horrible, horrible, horrible. Wake up from that. Clearly, no, this is a hellish satanic attack designed to try to rob me of my strength of moving forward with what God's going to have me move forward with that day, because this is the day that God is going to show me to move forward with the passport. I'm going to confirm it where Lisa first got the idea, which is incredible. God speaking to my wife in the middle of her prayer time gave both of us this idea to send the passport off. And now I see, if I wouldn't have done this yesterday, I see why Satan was attacking me so much to try to stop me, and the fear and the 6:16s that God showed me and 5:36, do not be afraid, just believe, and you will not be put to shame. And now I see why my email, Lisa and I have been so perplexed. My email for the last 5 days has been stuck on 5,055 unopened emails, no matter how many emails come and go. When I'm done, it stays there. And I've got screen captures of this to the point where I've captured this morning number 10. 10 555s. I think I screen captured 9 of them. This morning I saw the 10th time in like 5 days. Lisa's looking at this. Every day I'm like, honey, just scroll through my pictures and you'll see this. Every single day my inbox goes back to 5,055 emails, no matter how many emails come and go. No matter how many of them I don't open or how many of them I do open, it's unbelievable. Now, it'll change to reflect like new emails coming in. It'll say 5,061 or whatever. But then as I just go through the normal routine of processing emails, opening some, not opening some, deleting some, whatever, it keeps going back to 5,055 unopened emails. So I'm just, this morning I sent her a message and said, how many times are we going to see this? It's incredible. Well, this is where the miracle happens. That is just, it brought me to my knees. I put my hands in my face. I began to weep like a little baby before the Lord. I was astonished. So yesterday afternoon, I come home from sending the packet off. It's time to do a video call with Lisa. And at some point in the call, I'm talking to her about how God keeps showing me the number 454. And I believe it's like the Psalm 45:4, and it's regarding victory and him judging from the heavens and all that stuff. And I said, look, honey, here's another message about victory and God, he'll judge before the heavens, meaning he'll bring justice. I can't remember the scripture off the top of my head. And I said, it's very bizarre. I'm thinking about this because there had been an email that had come in. I'm standing at the kitchen sink. Here's what happened. I'm standing at the kitchen sink. I look up and see the New Zealand honey jar, and I notice it's 454 grams after I've just said this. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I said, sweetheart, the weirdest thing, I had just received an email from a lady today. Brother, this may be taking it too far, especially since everything is said and done. but the New Zealand honey jar. And I didn't understand what she meant. But here she is pointing out 454 grams. And I thought to myself, now I didn't recall her mentioning 454 grams. I just knew she was mentioning something about the fives and the ounces or whatever. I just quickly looked at the email. But now in the video call with Lisa, I'm standing at my kitchen. My eyes go right to the 454 grams on the New Zealand thing. So I go to find this email. But when I open my email, I now discover that I have this email from a sister named, I'm just going to leave her name Carol Ann so that I do not reveal her identity. And it's not the Carol Ann that has been my friend for years. That is just absolutely remarkable that it's that close. So I get this email. Now this email comes in at 3:41 p.m. So this email comes in while I am working on my passport renewal packet. So I'm online and this email comes in, but I don't see it now until well after like 6 o'clock, 6:30 or so, where I'm on the video call with Lisa. So the subject is God's wonderful, fantastic timing. Dear Michael, today I received a settlement. This was a long-awaited thing, and when it was transferred to my bank account today, I knew I had to contact you because the Lord has directed me to share a portion of the proceeds in the amount of $44,454.80. And I'm sitting here, the first thing I see is this 454. And I said, sweetheart, I can't handle this today. And I almost started to weep. I'm like, what is going on with this 454? I said, this is unbelievable. She takes a gasp and she's like, $44,000. She's like, what? And I'm like, sweetheart, now hold on. I don't know that she's saying she's going to give us this whole amount. I said, but there's something here. I said, but look at this 454. I mean, this is not a coincidence. I'm standing here looking at the honey 454. I'm going into my inbox to look for the email of the lady who had sent me this email about the New Zealand honey on Sunday. And instead, I find this email, which has yet another 454 in it. And this lady's talking about it will take a while to send it as it needs time in my account for whatever the bank needs for this. Oh, Michael, I am so happy for you and for Lisa. There is so much more to tell you that I know would be a blessing to you and Lisa. Please know that I am so excited and happy for you both. She's been in touch with the ministry for, I think, 4 or 5 years. She's been following, and I've received several communications from this sister over the years. I'll skip through all of this. There's so much to say, but we'll leave it for another day. There's no words to tell you how much the Lord has blessed me through you. I am beyond happy for you and Lisa. She sounds wonderful, and I know the Lord will continue to bless you both. God's richest blessings, Carol Ann. And so I'm sitting here looking at this and I'm going, God, are you telling me, Father, is this what all of these journal entries the last couple of days where I'm saying, God, if you tell me to do this, to move the house to New Zealand, God, you're going to have to move on somebody to make a huge donation. I literally have my recordings filled with, God, you're going to have somebody make a huge donation. So I'm going through this, you know, nonetheless, Lord, I'll trust you for the outcome. And here it is, the very day on 1-10, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. God tells me on Saturday, 1-10, in 3 days you will cross over the promised land. And now here it is, he tells me to move forward with the 504, to move forward on this impossible renewal of my passport. So I've, by faith, done it. I overcame all the fears and all the human understanding that says, you've already done this before. Why are you expecting a different result? I still said, never mind. God has told me to do it. I'm going to do it. And here, while I'm working on the passport application, a lady sends me this notification to suggest somehow or another, like she's received this $44,000 supplement and she's going to send me a portion of it. I told Lisa, I said, my goodness, I said, even if she only sent us 10% of that, that's still a very significant blessing. And I thought, this is amazing, you know, that God is really encouraging. And this explains all the 555s and the 422s and the 424s and the 117s and the just all the numbers that God's showing me. They're all pointing, you will be blessed. You have obeyed me. You have persevered. You will not be put to shame. Do not be afraid. Just believe, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the James 5:11s and the James 1:12s and all of this. And so here I am, you know, the 4:17s of, you know, Romans. We serve a God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they are. And clearly my passport is dead. My finances are dead in this way. And God was telling me he's calling it alive. And so I said, okay, Lord, So what I did yesterday is completely foolish. It's absolutely completely foolish. If you asked anybody to do something like this, they would tell you you're an idiot. You've already had it denied. You have a denial letter right here from the Department of State. Why in the world would you think that turning around and sending in your passport again with even bigger of a debt balance now would yield any different result? Because God has said exactly as it taught in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, where Peter says, Lord, we have been fishing all night long and caught nothing. Lord says, push out into deep waters, cast out for another fish, cast out for another catch. And he says, nevertheless, because you say, Lord, I'll do it. And he does it, and the boat is overwhelmed. Amazing, amazing, amazing is our God. And here he has done this. So I told Lisa, I said, Lisa, let's just trust that this is a token from the Lord no matter what. This shows us that God is going to do something. I mean, even if she just gives us a small portion of it. So I wanted to explain to this sister the incredible timing of this. I mean, the name of her thing is God's Wonderful, Fantastic Timing. She somehow or another connects it to the 17th episode that just came out. It's the same day that the money hits her account. So this morning, I feel led to send her a message to let her be blessed to know that the Lord indeed has used her in his faithfulness to help us. Nobody has any idea what's going on. Nobody knows. Nobody. Tyler and Lisa are the only two people, and Jared and Kristen are the only two people, four people, that know anything about the fact that God is now asking me to take the tiny house to New Zealand. Nobody else knows this. Everybody thinks I'm still either trying to sell the tiny house or will sell the tiny house. And the next thing you know, this situation happens where I've now moved forward by faith. I've done something that's very foolish to human understanding. And I reached out to her and I wanted her to know what a blessing this was. I wanted her to see the timing of God's timing from my perspective, because she has no idea that God's telling me to move the tiny house to New Zealand, that I've been praying for a huge donation because there's no other way this can happen, and that I have just sent off a passport in spite of the fact that I owe, according to the bank, according to the court, an unjust amount has to be paid before I can get my passport. It's crazy. The obstacle is a mountain. I mean, I can't come up with that kind of money, but God can. So all I've known is I've said, I don't know how, I don't know when, but God is going to deliver me. I've just done my part. So I sent her this message. I woke up this morning. I told her I didn't want to send it last night because I was too tired and I'd been talking to Lisa and I wanted to wait. So this morning I thought, okay, I don't want to in any way manipulate her, Father, to give more than she plans on. Whatever percentage of that money she's giving, I don't want to manipulate it in any way. I want her to be blessed to know this really is of the Lord. Like George Mueller would do this often. After somebody gave money, he would tell them the story of what his need was, and it would bless them so much to know that God moved specifically on them to meet that need. That's incredible. So I told her, I sent her a 20-minute message this morning and told her how thankful I was and so pleased. And I said, but listen, sister, I do not want to tell you what's going on until after you pray about the amount of that $44,000 that you're to give. I said, and once you know you've heard from the Lord, you let me know, and I will share with you the incredible things that have been going on behind the scenes. These journal entries where I'm up against a mountain, and I'm praying, God, you're going to have to send a very large donation. You're going to have to really help. This is going to take a miracle. There's no other way. This is a miracle. So I sent her this big, long message, and she writes me back this morning at 10:30 a.m. Then she writes, I apologize for any misunderstanding about the settlement amount to be sent to you. It wasn't clearly written. I meant the full amount stated. You will be receiving the full amount of the $44,000 plus settlement portion. The Lord wants you to have the full amount, not a penny less, and I very happily agree, smiley face. When I read these words, I collapsed into tears and I just said, oh my God in heaven. I could not explain how I felt. I have now been, and I've got to tell Lisa because she's texting me, she's finally awake. I've now been out on this trail for an hour and a half. I came to the trail immediately, midday, and I have been in shock. It's like I've been stupefied by the blessing of God. I'm kind of looking around as if I'm in a different world, unable to feel the impact of what we've done. This is a supernatural miracle. This is perhaps one of the most glorious new miracles I've ever seen. This is incredible. It's by far the largest donation I've ever received. I received one time this past year, a one-time donation of $5,000 from a lady in United Arab Emirates, or Dubai maybe. And that was the largest donation I had ever received. Before, it had only ever been like $1,000 and maybe a one-time $2,000 donation in all these years of ministry. We're talking about 11 years now, full-time ministry. 10 years, 2011 to 2021. And then I actually became full-time on January of 2000. And so really it's 8.5 years full-time, but 10 years of doing ministry work. And I've never received more than this. This is a miracle. God has done the miracle. I've trusted him for the impossible and he's done a miracle. This is incredible. I can't even feel it yet, but I believe it by faith. Praise God Almighty. This is absolutely amazing. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. Oh, I love you guys so much. I can't wait to hug your necks and, you know, just look you in the eyes and tell you more about it. I'm so thankful for your prayers. Guys, God has answered your prayers for us, and I'm so thankful that you joined in with us on this. And, you know, you see how the Lord is keeping us in sync on things still, like about the desire to be free of the bondage of child support. We were all three in agreement on the same day. Now we find out we're all three in agreement on moving forward with the passport. And you see how God is showing this. Brother, I just reminded Lisa that it was about a week ago, brother, we were talking about this, you know, when he started telling us about moving the tiny house, when it looked like he gave Lisa, brother, he's speaking to her big time. This was Lisa's initiative that God gave to her about moving forward with the passport, not mine. He had given me the thought, but I never mentioned it to her. It was also her idea about the tiny house coming to New Zealand. She's had these thoughts come to her while she's in prayer. And then she tells me, honey, this is what I feel like the Lord may be saying to us. And then she said, you know, I'm not 100% sure this is him, but I just want to share this with you that it won't go away and et cetera, et cetera. So it turns out both times she's been right. And then brother, I guess it was like a week ago or so. She said, honey, let's throw a fleece out. That was her idea, not mine. She said, let's throw a fleece out. She said, if God wants us to take this tiny house to New Zealand based upon the money that we need to get it there, she said, let's ask God for a $40,000 fleece. Brother, can you believe that? My wife asked God to give us a $40,000 fleece that if he sent us like $40,000, we would know he wants us to take the tiny house to New Zealand. Brother, I took the tiny house sale sign down today. I'm going to take it off the internet probably tonight or tomorrow morning. Ever since she was told the idea about bringing the tiny house to New Zealand, brother, we have not had a single email or inquiry from any source about the tiny house. Everything stopped. It's like God has made it invisible. It was all this activity, a storm of people interested. Oh, I want to buy it. Oh, I'm calling my lender. Oh, I'm calling my realtor. Oh, and God stopped every single one of them. Lord stopped them. And so you see how incredible this is. I couldn't believe it, brother. Today I'm in prayer just a little while ago. I want to tell you something else has happened. I've come under a horrible, hellish attack tonight. But I was walking in prayer and I'm like, God, if you really want us to take this tiny house to New Zealand, you got to give me a sign. You got to show me, Lord, because I'm still not confident. And it's like he instantly reminds me, you prayed for a $40,000 fleece. I just gave it to you. Take the tiny house to New Zealand. Can you believe that, brother? When I pulled up today and looked at the tiny house, I said, wow, this tiny house is going to New Zealand. Brother, I have had the most spiritual oppression towards these recordings of any of the recordings I've ever had. I had a whole week where I could do no work because I get paralyzed and I'm torn between what I share, what I don't share. And I get in this confusion and it's like I just throw my hands up in the air and I'm like, God, I can't do this. Brother, it happened again tonight. I got the grace to move forward again a couple of days ago. I did. People are blessed. The testimonies are incredible, how this is impacting people's lives. I mean, it's getting some people out of horrible, dead marriages. God, there's people that are testifying. They got out of one 5 years ago from listening to me, and now they're as happily married as they've ever possibly dreamed. And people are, just, you know, the guilt to stay in these terrible marriages is going away for some people, and people are fighting. And, you know, we're doing the Harriet Tubman thing. I told you that God gave me this vision about of getting people out of jail, and Satan hates it. So Man, I'm sitting there trying to work on the recording, brother. I ended up getting so upset. By the time I get on the phone with Lisa, she's feeling so bad that I'm feeling like this. And it started getting worse and worse and worse. I started getting frustrated and I started having thoughts of just quitting and just saying to hell with all this. I'm sick and tired of dealing with this battle. I'm sick and tired of caring more about other people's salvation than they do. I'm sick and tired of having to suffer for years in order for other people to have some good message. And it came on me so unbelievably hot and heavy. You know, like, I'm tired of suffering like this. I'm tired of having to deal with it. It's just not worth it. Forget it. I've done enough. I'm over with it. Brother, I started just to pray. You know, she prayed with me and I just started to say, Father, I'm in trouble. I'm in serious trouble. I need your help. You know, please help me and strengthen me, Lord God, to keep carrying this cross. God, I can't do it without you. I'm having all these negative thoughts. I'm having frustrations again. I'm wanting to quit. Brother, I've never seen anything like it. I cannot do these recordings. It's literally like Paul says, we wanted to come to you time and time again. Surely I did, but Satan stopped us. And it's like I'm being stopped. It's unbelievable, man. So I am just coming out of prayer and just feeling a little bruised and melancholy-ish. But look at this. Satan sandwiched. He attacks me on the front side yesterday morning. The blessing comes today, and here he is on the backside again, hitting me heavy. And I just thank God for it because it helps keep you low. It helps keep you just sober. You know, this $44,000, it's like the biggest miracle. But even Lisa and I are both like, why doesn't it feel so over the top exciting? You know, and we just have this peace about the whole thing. And I told the Lord, I said, oh God, the biggest miracle you've ever done. It's amazing. You know, I said, but God, I'm just so desirous of my wife. It doesn't mean anything. I just want my wife. It's all a means to an end. And so now, brother, we're praying about, does God really want me to send all that money into that child support? $12,000 in interest and an amount that I shouldn't have to be actually paying. So I really just, I'm now asking the Lord to help me before that money comes. What do you want me to do with it, Lord? How do you want me to steward it? What portion of it goes to child support? You know, and yeah, you know, I still am inclined to believe for a miracle that God's going to do some, you know, miracle or something. I mean, he just did. Hello, 44,000, but there's a part of me still that doesn't have peace about sending all that into child support. But yet when I went to try to move on the court documents all those times ago to dispute it, the Lord showed me not to do it. Clearly he has another plan. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if he was just going to say, here, I'm going to give you the money to just pay it. And so anyhow, I'm really tired. I love you guys. I'm so thankful for you. Sorry, man, I'm running out of gas. Thank you so much for praying. And I hope that it really encourages you guys to believe that when God needs to, he can do a miracle for you guys. Incredible, right?
I ended up when I read streams this morning, I read both. And the evening one's really awesome. It's really long though. Grab your coffee and get comfy and I'll read you the evening devotion for June 29th. It is Numbers 13:33. There we saw the giants. Yes, the Israeli spies saw giants, but Joshua and Caleb saw God. Those who doubt still say today, we can't attack. They are stronger than we are. That's verse 31. Yet those who believe say, we should go up and take possession, for we can certainly do it. Verse 30. Giants represent great difficulties, and they stalk us everywhere. They are in our families, our churches, our social life, and even our own hearts. We must overcome them or they will devour us. Just as the ancient Israelites fearing those in Canaan said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. Verse 32. We should exhibit faith as did Joshua and Caleb, who said, do not be afraid, because we will devour them. Numbers 14:9. In effect, they told the others, we will be stronger by overcoming them than if there had been no giants to defeat. In fact, unless we have overcoming faith, we will be swallowed up, consumed by the giants who block our path. With that same spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13 that Joshua and Caleb had, let us look to God and he will take care of the difficulties. Amen to that, eh, baby? Just like he did for you yesterday, me today. We encounter giants only when we are serving God and following him. It was when Israel was going forward that the giants appeared, for when they turned back into the wilderness, they found none.
Hence the reason why so many professing Christians look at a life like what I'm facing for years now and what Lisa has now joined me in, and they feel like that it's a complete farce, an anomaly, or a counterfeit, or a deception, because they're not engaging in what has always been known, Christianity being a battleground, not a playground. And when you're not taking ground, Satan has no reason to antagonize. But when you're on the field, when you are obeying Jesus Christ, when you are doing his will, he's going to call you into places that are a threat to Satan, and that's why you're going to feel the obstacles, you're going to see the giants, and you're going to feel the foul breath of Satan breathing on your neck.
Many people believe that the power of God in a person's life should keep him from all trials and conflicts. However, the power of God actually brings conflict and struggles. You would think that Paul, during his great missionary journey to Rome, would have been kept by God's sovereignty from the power of violent storms and of his enemies. Yet just the opposite was true. He endured one long, difficult struggle with the Jews who were persecuting him. He faced fierce winds, poisonous snakes, and all the powers of earth and of hell. And finally, he narrowly escaped drowning by swimming to shore at Malta after a shipwreck nearly sent him to a watery grave. Does this sound like a God of infinite power? Yes, it is just like him. And that is why Paul told us that once we took the Lord Jesus Christ as his life in his body, severe conflict immediately arose. In fact, the conflict never ended. The pressure on Paul was persistent, but from the conflict he always emerged victorious through the strength of Jesus Christ. Paul described this in quite vivid language. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. 2 Corinthians 4, 8-10. What a ceaseless and strenuous struggle, he related. It is nearly impossible to express in English the impact of the original language. Paul gives us 5 different images in succession. In the first, he has us picture enemies completely surrounding and pressuring, but not crushing him, because the heavenly police have protected him and cleared a path just wide enough for him to escape. The literal meaning is, we are crowded from all sides but not defeated. The second image is that of someone whose way is completely blocked or thwarted by the enemy. Yet he has persevered, for there is just enough light for him to see the next step. Paul said, perplexed but not in despair, or as one literal translation put it, without a road but not without a side road of escape. The third picture, persecuted but not abandoned, is one of the enemy in hot pursuit of him while the divine defender stands nearby. He is pursued but not left alone. The fourth is even more vivid and dramatic. The enemy has overtaken him, struck him, and knocked him down, but it is not a fatal blow. He is able to rise again. He has been struck down but not destroyed, or literally overthrown but not overcome. In the fifth and final image, Paul advances the thought still further, giving us a picture that appears to be one of death itself. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, yet he does not die, for the life of Jesus comes to his aid, and he lives through Christ's life until his life work is complete. The reason so many people fail to experience this divine principle is that they expect to receive it all without a struggle. When conflict comes and the battle rages on, they become discouraged and surrender. God has nothing worth having that is easily gained, for there are no cheap goods on the heavenly market. The cost of our redemption was everything God had to give, and anything worth having is, I like that, anything worth having is expensive. Difficult times and places are our schools of faith and character. If we are ever to rise above mere human strength and experience the power of the life of Christ in our mortal bodies, it will be through the process of conflict that could very well be called the labor pains of the new life. It is like the story of Moses, who saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn. Exodus 3 verse 2. Although Satan's demons tried to extinguish the flames in Moses' life by continually pouring water on his plans, they could not, because God's angels were ever vigilant, pouring oil on the flame to keep it burning brightly. Dear child of God, you may be suffering, but you cannot fail if you will only dare to believe, stand firm, and refuse to be overcome. Isn't that awesome? That was a really good one. But you cannot fail if you will only dare to believe. We dare to believe. Stand firm and refuse to be overcome. That's us, baby. That's you and me. That's why we're going to see this 9/11 ending, eh, baby? Well, it's not really an ending. It's a ending of our suffering of reality TV show. But a beginning, yeah, of something wonderful and new. New life together.
Michael Commentary. Brothers and sisters, this next recording you're going to hear happens on June 30th, 2021. And it is really capturing a very bizarre moment. So we've just received notice, as you know, on the 28th of June that we're going to receive this $44,000 donation, which is a direct answer to our prayer. We now have all the confirmation we need to know the tiny house is going to New Zealand. So this is an incredible blessing, a real miraculous answer to prayer. And now I'm going to experience, on the opposite of one of the highest highs, this answered prayer, one of the lowest lows. It seems almost in direct proportion to how high of a blessing this was. I'm going to be brought just as low afterwards. And I want you to hear this recording. It is really remarkable. It was a lot more remarkable to experience than what I was able to put into words in this recording to Lisa. It was a sense of total paralysis. I was unable to move forward in telling the recordings. There was a period of time where for about 5 days, I made zero progress on the recordings. I could not. It is literally like I was completely paralyzed. I couldn't think of what I wanted to say to Lisa. I could not think of how to do the recordings moving forward. It was truly one of the most confusing, bizarre types of spiritual warfare that I had ever faced. I'd never had anything quite like this. And it was kind of lasting for about a week. And here it kind of comes to a climax. You'd probably heard me mention it to Jared and Kristen in a recording I sent to them earlier. Today, it's going to come to a head. This is a very well-known principle where right after God blesses you, Satan comes. I've seen this in the last 12 years of walking by faith. I've seen it happens virtually every single time. One of the famous Puritan writers, Thomas Boston, wrote a book called The Crook in the Lot. And he talks about how there's a time of lifting up, you know, as it says in James 4. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and in due time, he will lift you up. So he talks about how God brings you low, but God will lift you up. And then he goes out of the way in a certain chapter to talk about how always after the blessing comes, we have to be on guard, because even after God brings a comfort or a blessing, he's going to again allow the weights to be hung back on you. What I see and conjecture from this in my own life is that it is these strikes that come after the blessing that keep you level-headed and from flying off like a hot air balloon out of pride or excitement. You can even become inebriated from the brain chemicals of the excitement. So in order to keep you sober and to keep you from perhaps, like I say, drifting into pride or self-righteousness, looking down on other people, or even losing sight of what the main mission is, you can get so excited about a blessing, you can forget what the end game that God has in store is. So God allows Satan to strike to bring you back low. I mean, I've seen this happen over and over and over again. Literally, you can listen to my recordings and hear it's happened perhaps hundreds of times that I've caught in these recordings. This one just happened to be very dramatic and difficult, but be encouraged. God allows this. It isn't that suddenly Satan is the one who's in control and that God can't do anything to stop him or you cannot. No, God allows this to happen. It is for our good. All things working together for the good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. But I will tell you, and the reason why I'm sharing this recording is when this happens, it can be so discouraging. And when you are in the midst of it, it can feel so debilitating. And yet, we can see God has a good reason for it. And I see that every single thing that God does and allows Satan to strike, it always, 100% of the time, not 98%, 100% of the time, no matter what God allows Satan to strike me at, it always turns for my good and for his glory. May God bless you as you listen. End of commentary.
Hi, sweetheart. Darling, I am so bad. I'm so disappointed to not be able to be all excited and stuff about talking to you this morning and be my normal self, sweetheart. It's like I've been bitten by a snake. Sweetheart, I'm worse than I was yesterday afternoon, darling. And please don't worry about it, baby. God will get me through, honey. I feel like I've been paralyzed. And I don't know what to do to get myself out of this. And I've tried to cry out to the Lord a little bit. And I think I'm just going to get out of this house. I'm going to try to go sit at Starbucks and try to change up my environment or something. I hit a wall again when I sat down to try to do my recordings, and I thought I would be able to do it, and I sat back down, and at some point while I was waiting for the computer or something like that, I don't know. I went and I looked at the comment, I checked the comments to see, and there was that comment from that lady, and it just seemed like it bit me. And it was even worse. I was already feeling so reluctant to share, and now it just made it worse. And it was like I had to shut my computer down, and I just feel so confused, and I don't know what to do, and I can't move forward. I no matter how much I try, I went back to the beginning of the recording, and I just can't. And immediately, all I can think about now is how, every few seconds, these numbers come out of my mouth, and maybe I should just stop that and, start doing just the scriptures. And man, I'm just in real trouble. I really am. I then get an email from Carol, and she's so excited about the messages that I've sent her this morning, and she's asking for my bank information for me to send it to her, and it's like I'm paralyzed. It's like I can't even do that. I've tried to send you messages today, and I can't. I'm paralyzed. That's the only thing I can describe it is. It's literally like I've been bit by a snake, and I'm immobilized, and no matter what I do, I can't. So I'm hoping maybe if I just get out of the house and just go sit at Starbucks, I got tired, and I just thought, okay, well, I'll just lay down a little bit, and I didn't go to sleep. I didn't lay down, but for not even an hour. And it's like I just feel overwhelmed, confused. I don't know what to do. But it's like now I can't move until God gives me grace, sweetheart. I have nothing. It's like I've been zapped. I've never really had this experience before. I don't know what is going on, why I'm not able to move forward. I feel like I haven't done anything wrong. I feel like I've just desired to do the right thing, and I'm confused about everything. I'm confused about our communication, how much, too much, when. I'm confused about, you know, the banking information. I'm confused about what to do about my ministry, about moving forward. It's like I can't do anything. I feel horrible even speaking to you right now because I don't want you to feel bad, and I don't know what to do. I started to dread the fact that you were waking up, and I'm like, God, how am I going to reply to her? Well, what do I say? So yeah, honey, this is really, really bad. But I know somehow or another God will help me. I mean, I feel physically sick in my body, and I feel like literally the best way I just can describe it is like I'm paralyzed. It literally feels like I've been bit by a snake, and I'm unable to move, and I cannot shake it. I don't know how to get out of this, and I've just, you know, cried out to the Lord to help me. Oh, and now I go to sleep and I wake up and I feel like junk, and I'm just having overwhelmingly negative thoughts about everything, and it's just an overall paralysis, a total confusion. So just be patient with me, sweetheart. Just be patient. Don't let it send you into any kind of a panic. I just want to tell you that deep down inside of me, I know that everything is going to be okay. I know that somehow or another, I'm going to get through this. I always have. I always will. But I just don't understand what's going on. I've never had this kind of experience before. I feel like I'm paralyzed. And here it comes. I sit down to try to do the recording. And I even if I know it's spiritual warfare, I can't do anything about it. I just keep thinking of Paul. I tried to come to you again and again. I wanted to, but I couldn't because Satan stopped us. And that's the only thing I can think of, is that I'm being stopped by Satan in some way that I'm not even aware of. Baby, I just have to be okay with not being okay right now. And I just need you to be okay with me not being okay. This is really serious, different than I've ever face before. So I'm going to try to just go get in the car and go to Starbucks. I don't know what makes me think anything's going to be different, but I don't know if I can just change my environment or what. I don't know. Get out of this house. I don't know. I don't know what I need to do. So I feel bad about even saying any of this to you. I just can't make any decisions. I need God's help. I can't even, like I say, I can't even send the lady my banking information. I'm in a situation where I'm immobilized. I just know this, honey, that I love you. I love you so much. I know that everything's going to be okay. I just feel like I'm experiencing something I've never really experienced before, sweetheart. And it's, I just, look, at the most important thing I can say to you is that I know I'm going to come through this. I know that God is going to deliver me, sweetheart. So don't feel any kind of sense of panic for me. I feel more concerned about you, how you're reacting to this, than I do about me. I don't want you to react to this wrong. I don't want Satan to get this off on you. I am going to be okay. When God is ready, he will move me forward. When God is ready, he will give me strength. When God is ready, he will clear the confusion. He will make a way. The Lord Jesus Christ will make a way. If there's anything I know, Michael Criswell is going to be a relentless heart. He's going to get through with God's help, because that's who God has made me to be, and that's who he has always helped me to be. But yeah, it's just one blast after another, after another, after another. Anyhow, I'm just going to shut up for right now. And I love you. I just want you to know I love you so much. And I'm so sorry that this is happening. Don't take any of it personal, sweetheart. I'm even having struggling energy to say words right now. I love you. I'm not struggling to say that. I know I'll get better, sweetheart. Just be patient with me, baby. Please just be patient with me.